I am unwilling to give up, that I will start over from scratch as many times as it takes to get where I want to be.
You just want to make sure you will get knocked down, but just make sure you don't get knocked out.
So your only choice should be go focus on what you can control.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Kara Golden Show. Join me each week for inspiring conversations with some of the world's greatest leaders. We'll talk with founders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and really some of the most interesting people of our time. Can't wait to get started. Let's go. Hi, everyone. It's Kara Golden from The Kara Golden Show, and I'm so excited to have my next guest here. We have Jen Zezet, who is the co-founder and CEO of a fairly new brand that you are going to absolutely love if you have not tried it yet. It's called Goodles. And I was introduced to it a couple of years ago, right when they were getting going, by an industry friend of mine, Deb Lester. And I was just so excited about it. And I haven't even told Jen the story, but I brought it home and it was on the counter. And my son, who's now a freshman in college, grabbed it. He was starving. And he liked one of those other mac and cheese brands, and he tried it, and he reads ingredients. He was like, I don't know if I'm going to like this or not, but I'm starving. And he had it immediately, and he became like one of your number one fans. And he's told so many people about it. You guys had sent over a box recently, and a bunch of his other college friends were over, and they were like, "What is this?" And he was your brand ambassador. It was so fun, and he was like, "This is really good. My mom knew this one." You know, I mean, the whole story. He's got it all down. And then obviously the actress that I'll get you to chat about, who has also been involved in the brand too. He had seen some of that marketing. So reimagining everyone's beloved mac and cheese, Goodles is reinventing the prepared pasta aisle. So making macaroni nutrient dense and protein packed. But we're going to allow Jen to do a much better job than I am of actually sharing a lot more about this brand. It's only 2 years old, so you're not totally hiding under a rock if you haven't heard about it, but they've already sold over 9 billion noodles. I mean, that's just crazy. So excited for you and so excited to have Jen here with us today to talk about the brand and the journey. So welcome, Jen.
Thank you so much for having me. Oh my gosh. I don't know. Sounds like your son would do a better job of introing Goodles than I would, but amazing. Thank you.
So excited. So what inspired you to create Goodles? Can you tell us the backstory?
Yeah, well, the backstory. So this is my fourth time as a CEO. So, and my last company was making healthy food as well. And, you know, love kind of the space and all of those sorts of things. And it's one of those things where I was not ready to start another company. You know that feeling where you're like, oh, no. I know what life force goes into that thing. And I can't do it again. I just can't. And my husband was like, you promise? I'm like, I promise. And sure enough, you've mentioned Deb Lester. She's one of my founding team members. Paul Earle, who is my co-founder and an incredible branding professor. I got Gal Gadot, who's an old friend and also happens to play Wonder Woman in movies and things like that. And then Molly Mache, who's my head of R&D. Like the five of us got together and it was like, guys, mac and cheese. It's like a million boxes are sold a day of that leading brand. And, you know, Deb Lester, as you know, is one of the original presidents of Annie's, but that was 36 years ago that any innovation on the nutrition front has even happened. So from a branding perspective, nothing has happened. Nutritionally, it hasn't evolved at all. And food science is so much more advanced, you know? And then we looked at it and we said, well, why is it that the main leading brands think that mac and cheese is only for kids? And no offense to, you know, Deb's former brand, but, you know, push the bunny's tail to open the box. And, you know, it was like, you know, noodle art to do with your three-year-old and all that kind of stuff. Super cute, great and everything. But I love mac and cheese. We all love mac and cheese. And it was just this like lightning bolt aha that said, wait a minute, I think there's a chance to not just steal share. I think there's a chance to grow share. Because if you think about, like, I don't know, ice cream, sure, kids love ice cream, but everybody can love ice cream as much as you want. And a big part of that is because brands chose to have good branding. They put good ingredients in. They get innovated on flavors, all those sorts of things. Meanwhile, there's this like multi-billion dollar category is just sitting here and hasn't evolved in 36, 86 years. So it was one of those things where I was like, I'm not going to do it again. It was a 20-minute phone call with my co-founder, Paul. And I walked into the room and my husband goes, I didn't even say a word. He just goes, oh my God, you're doing it again. And I'm like, ah, I am. But it's such a good idea. It like has to happen. And like the whole thing just popped into my head on how we were going to unveil this. So I was certain from day one that there is a massive, massive opportunity for a modernization and a reimagining of this beloved category, which is mac and cheese. But, you know, then we went and started to fundraise and we hit a total brick wall. We were told no in every possible way. We were told no by very serious industry people who said, no way, you can never go up against those big companies. They're just going to slam you. You can't raise enough money to even compete in that market. Just stay away. We were told by VCs that our branding and our boxes looked not healthy enough. Why weren't they brown? They should be, if they're healthy and if they have 21 nutrients from veggies and they've got protein and all of that kind of stuff, couldn't it have like some broccoli doing some push-ups or something like that on the front? And you're like, no, what are you not hearing? Like, it's not for kids and we need to modernize. We want to make it sexy and beautiful and fun. We want it to look like a disco party in the aisle because we're going after young adults who don't have little kids at home. Like, we want this to be fabulous. And we were just told no over and over and over. So, you know, it's one of those fun stories, you know, our last round that we just closed. I had 32 VCs fighting to try and lead the Series A. And it was just like, where were you guys? Where were you guys in the beginning? Like, you're not visionaries, you know? So we had to stick to our guns and trust our intuition. But it was a fun, fun start to all of this.
How often have you thought about learning a new language only to be stopped by that memory of yours from the last time you tried to learn a language when it didn't go so well? Okay, maybe it wasn't a language that you were interested in learning, or perhaps all those poorly written textbooks in your sixth grade class weren't that well written after all. I have a great tip for you. It's called Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program around, available on desktop or app. No matter where you choose to learn it or what platform you choose to learn on, Rosetta Stone works, and it truly immerses you in the language you choose to learn, quicker and easier than you ever imagined to. Maybe you're getting ready to travel abroad this summer and you want to learn a bit of Portuguese, let's say, before your trip. Rosetta Stone can help. I know this firsthand as I did just this before traveling to Portugal last year. I learned Portuguese through Rosetta Stone, and by doing so, I not only got a better grasp of the spoken language of Portugal, but it got me very excited for the trip itself before I went. They even have a true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation as you are learning too. They've got you covered. Rosetta Stone's trusted experts are the real deal. They've been helping people just like you for over 30 years. Helping millions of people to learn Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and my favorite, Portuguese. The lessons are 5 to 10 minutes long and include practical exercises so that you can pick up the language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. No English translations either, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language you are focused on, helping you get the long term retention you are looking for. And who wouldn't want that? Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the Kara Golden Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today today. In today's world, which I will admit can at times seem filled with too much of the wrong information, it's essential to find a good source that truly gets to the heart of what I want to know. I am super excited about our next sponsor, as I've been a big fan of their content for some time now. That sponsor is The Washington Post. Their depth on topics from business to tech isn't just impressive, it's essential reading for me. Whether I'm catching up on the latest tech trends or understanding how the day's news truly impacts my family, The Washington Post is my trusted source. Let's talk specifics. Their business and tech coverage, absolutely top-notch. Just imagine having the most insightful articles at your fingertips, including the unparalleled AI reporting from Drew Harwell or the pulse on tech and online culture from Taylor Lorenz. And the best part? You can listen to articles just like you listen to this podcast, making it perfect for your busy lifestyle. I was just reading an article from one of my favorite Washington Post writers, Frances Stead Sellers. She covers entrepreneurs like myself, but also covers other interesting topics, including health, as well as some very interesting books. I also love getting their For You newsletter, which is their roundup of stories tailored just for my interests, right in my inbox every evening. The Washington Post app is super well done, I think. It makes it incredibly easy to stay up to date and follow my favorite journalists on the go. And if you ever thought that the Washington Post is just about politics, think again. They cover everything under the sun, from climate and culture to crosswords and cooking, providing a world of surprising stories and vital insights. Okay, enough of the love fest that I have for the Washington Post. Here's the deal. Being a listener of the Kara Golden Show has its benefits, and this one is too good to miss. Now is the time to sign up for the Washington Post. Go to washingtonpost.com/Kara Golden to subscribe for just 50 cents per week for your first year. That's 80% off their typical offer. So this is truly a steal. Once again, that's washingtonpost.com/Kara Golden to subscribe for just 50 cents per week for your first year. So, well, I think once you actually, and especially in today's market, you have data, as long as it is good data, like that's where, you know, they're not risk takers, right? Like so many of these VCs are, you know, I mean, they are wait and see lemmings, right? That jump on. And there's certainly, there are some exceptions, but there are many VCs that have never operated a company before and don't see the new categories. So I'm not surprised to hear that at all, but I'm so happy that you did it. So did you originally just raise through angels?
Yeah. So we started through angels. I think it was my founding team member, Molly. She's like, my next door neighbor, he has water buffaloes. I think he can write a check for a few thousand. I was like, sweet, we'll take it. That was our first check. So yeah, we started with angels, and then we did find some incredible partners. Springdale, Genevieve from Springdale came on in the very early days. We have Willow. We now have incredible VC and institutional money around the table. But yeah, we started very catch as catch can and tried to make 10 pounds of little noodles. And we did all of this during COVID, actually. So it was 2020 when we incorporated. So we're, you know, FedExing. We couldn't even be together. We're FedExing little, you know, awful, brown, weird baggies of noodles all over the country trying to make this go. We kind of leaned on our community. We actually started with 3,000, what we call our do-gooders. Our community is called our do-gooders because we're goodles and we're noodles gooder. So our do-gooders, we had 3,000 of them. So we were shipping these little baggies all over the country until people were giving us like 10 out of 10, hands down, 98% likelihood to buy, all that kind of stuff. So and then we felt like, okay, I think we're ready. I think we're ready to put this out into the world. And so we did. We launched at the very end of 2021, and we did just have our second birthday. We just went into our terrible twos. So we're excited for what's ahead.
I love it. So obviously your product tastes great. How would you describe it to somebody? How does it differ besides being better for you? I the taste is amazing. And I think that today, gone are the days where you can launch a product that tastes terrible, right? You have to, especially if you're going up against a big category as you guys are. So what are the key things that you wanted in a product that were, that you were not going to launch unless you could get that?
Well, you're totally spot on. It just shocks me in that natural products, how many things just don't taste good. It's like, God, didn't you have friends who like loved you enough to tell you that that was not worth launching? So our, taste, number one, number two, number three, it has to just totally taste delicious. And even the brief was like, make something taste absolutely awesome and then cram in as much of the nutrition as you can. And I swear, I mean, even with like our protein, we don't round up. So it was like, it was right there. It was like something 0.92. And I was like, Molly, can't you like put in like this much more? We can just round up and we'll just call it 16 grams of protein per cup. She's like, probably, for sure. So we try it and I swear you can taste something. And we're like, take it back down. Just take it back down. It has to be delicious. And so taste is the most important thing. And that's why the story of your son was so funny at the beginning, because I don't love telling people what's in it. And I love that the box is so beautiful and sexy and all of those sorts of things. It doesn't look healthy. And because if you are like, hey, who wants to try some mac and cheese that has, chlorella, which is a freshwater algae in it, you're not going to have a whole lot of takers. But if you say, who wants amazing, delicious mac and cheese? And then they get it home and that's when they start looking at it and they're like, oh gosh, I don't know. Is this going to, how is this going to be? I'd much rather you take a bite first and go, what is this? I love it. And then you tell them what's inside and then you got them hooked. So it's like taste first and then nutrition is, it's a sub bullet, but it is the reason why, fitness fans, athletes, we got, tons of our investors are this athlete community because they're obsessed with the protein. They're obsessed with the nutrition. They're obsessed with the fiber, the low glycemic index, like all of those sorts of things are great, but that's all on the side of the box. Like if you're a health nut, you're going to look and you're going to be like, oh yay, it has algae in it. But if we're going up against Kraft and Annie's and we're here to build a $1 billion company, yeah, we're going to hide that fact. It's just got to be up. So I think it's that magic. Like it doesn't have to be one or the other. We have a little tagline, which is, they lied. You can have it all. You don't have to choose between taste and nutrition. And so that's just our founding principle. And it's our, the way that we produce every single product that we release. The other thing that I should mention is flavors, right? If you're going to be, say that mac and cheese is not just for kids anymore, when we launched, it did sound a little crazy. We were launching with like the classic orangey one. If you grew up on Kraft, you're going to love that one. And if the classic white cheddar, which is called Schellegood, if you love that one and you grew up on that one, that's going to be your fave. But we also launched with some weird ones. We launched with Twist My Parm. We launched with a Cacio e Pepe, which, like little kids are like, ooh, what are the little black things in there? And you're like, it's pepper. It's, it's really relaxed. That one's for your mom and dad. May not be for you, but we've just, continued to go with that. We've got Down the Hatch, which is a hatch chili popper. We've got some spicy ones, Hey Hey Elote. We've got shaved black truffle, which is a huge, huge hit. And there are some foodie kids who love it, but we are actually massively growing the category. So at one of our mass retailers, 81% incremental to the category. So 81% of the people who are buying Good Ol's have never purchased a box of mac and cheese ever at the store. So here is this multi-billion-dollar market that's now way bigger because we saw that mac and cheese isn't just for kids. So it's really fun.
That's awesome. What was your first store, by the way?
Target. We did a national launch with Target, but we didn't know any buyers there. We had no way to get in there. We had never launched before. We had no retail data before. So it was a total long shot. But we kind of snuck our way in and got a 15-minute meeting for this launch pad program that we totally didn't deserve to be in, but it gave us 15 minutes in front of the buyer. And she's like, you're not getting into this launch pad program. You're totally ineligible. We're like, oh, really? Are we? But we got our 15 minutes in front of her and the rest is history. We did a national launch across the country. And we're now selling not just there, but across all of our stores. We just crossed a major milestone, which is selling one box every 2 seconds right now across the country. So crazy.
I love that. So you mentioned Gal Gadot, who you'd known for a while. How did she get involved in the brand?
Well, she and I had known each other before I started this project, and I talked to her about other things. I knew that she was like kind of had never done anything like been done anything like this before and was really curious. So when I pinged her, I was like, hey, what do you think about mac and cheese? And she's like, oh my God. So I guess when she was growing up in Israel, her aunt and uncle would ask all of the kids, hey, what do you want us to bring from the States? And some kids would ask for toys. Others would ask for music. The only thing she asked for was a giant box of, at the time, it was Kraft mac and cheese, but like obsessed with mac and cheese. So she's like, are you kidding me? And I'm like, no, I'm not kidding. And so, yeah, it's been a really amazing collaboration. You know, she's got 110 million followers or something like that. So that really helps to get the word out, you know, because if you got to buy all those eyeballs and pay for those with paid media, whew. Can't raise that much. So
fun. So your branding is so fun and unique and aims to tap into nostalgia, I feel like, but also is a little weird. And I know you've talked a little bit about that.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I love it. So how have you thought about branding? You've been involved in other brands. You've been around watching other brands. So how did you think about, you know, the branding of this and how would you explain it to others?
Well, I think that strategically, we just knew mac and cheese is joy. Like it is, there's maybe, I don't know. I can't think of anything else that the world can agree upon right now other than our love for mac and cheese. But whether you are North or South, left or right, political party affiliations, rich, poor, skin color of skin, everyone loves mac and cheese. And to be able to give something that tastes so good and give the nutrition, it's just joy. And so we really wanted a branding experience that was just joy, weird, all of those sorts of things. So strategically, we just knew we'd also be going up against, you know, two very, very big corporations in Kraft and General Mills and really well run and incredibly, you know, well financed and companies. And you just can't outspend them. We can't out coupon them. We can't out slotting fee them. We can't rent cuter kids for our commercials. We can't afford commercials. So we kind of have to, what we can do is we can be more authentic. We can out weird them. So everything from the crazy colors to the crazy names. People usually just get a huge smile on their face when they see the names of our products. And we even go even weirder. Like, for example, on April Fool's, there are so many names that we would never choose for in a commercial, you know, for a commercial enterprise. Lots of names get on the cutting room floor. Let's just put it that way. Either they are so not PC or they are just like so corny and stupid. But on April Fool's every year, we like to bring them back. So we'll put on our website some of the names. And, you know, just as an example, this past April Fool's, you know, Twist My Parm became Kiss My Asiago. We had all, like, everything just switched out. And we made it clear. We're like, coming never. And April Fool's, like, we made it clear that it was a total joke. But on that day, we sold 16x the revenue. We had 16 times the sales of our normal day. Just by being that weird. It cost us no money, but it's just, you know, it's small, it's scrappy. We don't have an agency. We film everything in-house. This is the team. You can't see my headquarters office here, but we film everything here in Santa Cruz. And I think that in general, like, the world roots for underdogs. And I think they like that scrappy thing. So I don't know. We've just closed a bunch of funding, but we're not getting an agency. We're not going to get suddenly like new fancy marketing. Like, this is working. Let's just keep being weird. So that's kind of philosophically that's all we got, is to go up against some of these big, big, big brands. But really, it's an extraordinary lineup of branding people that I've hired here. We have a creative director in Dan, who's incredible. My partner, Paul, is a branding professor. We have so many like incredible branding minds around the table. So I think we also punch our weight above our weight in terms of talent on the brand side, which is super key to all of this. We might be a startup, but the talent is like top tier.
What are some of the most popular Goodall's flavors? I mean, you've talked about some of them, like the mac and cheese. And what has been the most surprising to you as you've invigorated a category, right, in many ways? But what has been kind of surprising to you?
So I think it surprised really all of us, you know, because if you think about it, you know, Kraft as an example, you know, that blue box sells the vast majority. They have a very long tail of other things, but it's more than 90% of their sales is that one SKU. Same thing with Annie's. It's the iconic, the white shells, like that is the vast majority of their sales. And then there's a long tail of little stuff. So I think what's shocking here is that everything that we launch, it's not cannibalizing anything else. Like people are like, oh, that one sounds good too. Oh, that one sounds good too. And it's like, if there's eight things on shelf, the basket is eight things. If there's nine things on shelves, they're buying nine of them. They want to try all of them. And it's, again, it's back to the mindset. You know, little kids are locked. Their palates are very simple. So if you're buying for your kids, they like the white one or they like the orange one. So those are always going to be our top sellers because it's both nostalgic, the ones that, you know, you grew up with, and it's also the ones that kids kind of love. But the truth is, like, this, it's not a long tail. Like all of these other flavors, they just keep growing basket size and growing basket size. And we keep thinking, is it going to start cannibalizing something? And it's not. The other one that's surprising all of us is vegan. Launched what I think is the, well, it must be because we are the number one vegan selling mac and cheese in the country now in our format. So vegan sales are like off the charts. And I haven't told anybody this, but since it's so close, I feel like I got to tell you and your listeners, but that we are finally launching our gluten-free mac, which has been, the day we launched, people have been begging for a gluten-free noodle and a gluten-free mac and cheese. And we have both a vegan one and a non-vegan one that's launching in just the next couple of weeks. And I think those are going to be just giant hits because it just tastes so much better than everything that exists out on the market. So anyway, sneak peek to your listeners. There you go.
Super, super exciting. So what's been your go-to-market strategy? You mentioned Target was your initial partner. Obviously, direct-to-consumer is such a big part of anybody's brand. We've talked to many people who have started out as D2C and then gone into retail, or as we did at Hint, we did retail and then went strong into D2C. But I'm so curious, like, where do you see this brand overall going and what is the strategy there?
Yeah. Well, we knew we would always want to be where mac and cheese is sold. So that is mostly in retail. It's not mostly on D2C. So we had to launch D2C because that's the only thing that we can control. We couldn't get any buyers to take us in the early days. So when we launched, we were D2C only. And that was helpful just because, you know, I thought we had 5 months of inventory and we sold out in less than 2 weeks. So it was like, okay, we got to make some more noodles quick.
Wow.
But D2C has always been kind of the core that's always there. To your point, it's so strategically important because we own that relationship. We know them. We can talk to them. We can pull them. We can say, hey, talk to us about this format. Hey, anyone gluten-free? Let's talk. And we want to do some sampling with you. So we can pull them. We can ask them questions. We just can facilitate that relationship so well. So we always launch, every new flavor launches D2C first. So it might go, yay, to Target, or might be a Whole Foods coming soon to Whole Foods, but D2C gets every flavor first. So if you ever want to try the latest Goodall's, everything is at goodalls.com, and we always launch there first, and then it rolls into retail afterwards. So we knew that we were always going to be very omnichannel. And over time, D2C would get smaller and smaller as a percentage of the whole, which is exactly what has happened. But we've never really, invested in online advertising. Like, we actually shut all of that off and those sorts of things. We just use it as a very organic channel to build brand, build mm-hmm. relationships, and really secure, have a great loyal following through our D2C brand. But most of our sales are through retail now, for sure.
So what's been the most challenging part of growing this company? You are a serial entrepreneur, but, have you grown a brand that I guess has this much possibility from scratch?
No.
And what is new to you that you're like, hopefully you don't lose sleep every night, but certainly there's moments in growing a brand where you're just like, this is a lot.
Yeah. We get that feeling all the time. I think the hardest, never before have I built anything or that has been this like quickly beloved. We have people who've tattooed branding on their bodies. We have people dressing up, like people we don't know, dressing up as Mac and Cheese, as Chetty Mac for Halloween. We have celebrities calling and asking if we can do bulk shipments for baby showers. We have Kardashians showing up at like our Mac and Cheese brunch. And we're like, what are you talking about? So there's people creating content for us and filming commercials. And there's this fanaticism that I've never, never experienced before. And it's just an honor to be a part of it, for sure, to be inspiring this. I think the speed at which this is going is the part that keeps all of us up at night. I mean, we're at a scale that I thought we'd be in 8 years, and here we are at 2 years. I mean, we're growing out of a co-man, moving on to another one, moving on to another one. Like, it's all part of how you scale a brand, but doing it this fast, it's hard. Like, it feels like careening around every corner as if like the wheels might come off. And I think that's the reason why this team is so essential to success. Like, this is a very veteran and senior team who's been there, done this many, many times. So if you're driving down, if you're building a brand that takes forever and you're going 5 miles per hour down the road, you can look out the window and like see a pothole and, slowly steer around it. But if you're going this fast, and you hit a pothole going light speed like this, there's a chance for the whole thing to kind of rattle apart. So we need team members who are looking ahead, who are thinking ahead, who have a contingency plan. And oh, by the way, have a contingency plan to the contingency plan. Like, we have to be thinking about those things in advance. And this is a team that has that. I mean, it's like, rumor is that in 2026, this one ingredient might get more expensive. And already we're running line trials in North Dakota in the middle of winter and doing something in order to like test and make sure that we've got 3 options ready to go in case that happens in 2026. I'm just like, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. So, but that kind of looking ahead, and also maintaining a culture where you're scaling so fast. Like, it was so fun. There was like 6 of us and we all did everything together. Oh my gosh, we can't do that anymore. Otherwise the whole thing would fall apart. So that scaling part and keeping culture intact, it's probably 80% of my job now. And it used to be 2.
That's tough.
It's tough.
Are you primarily remote as well still?
We have a headquarters here in Santa Cruz, and a majority of the company is here at this office. It's definitely the full marketing team, a big part of the ops team. We have our test kitchen here. So like a core group, the one that kind of creates content together, is also physically together, but sales is remote, all geographically dispersed across the country. So we have like half the company that's out and about. So that bringing people back together, having those touchstone moments, what we call homecoming, in doing fun things together is tough. Like, it becomes a bigger and bigger part of our day to day, is keeping that connection to that spark and that thread from the very beginning. Even if it was 2 years ago, it's still tons of new people who weren't there at the beginning. They didn't hear all those early stories. So you just become a storyteller over and over and over.
No, I love that so much. So last question, I'd love for you to share, maybe it's a nugget of inspiration, or somebody may have shared something with you over the years that just, like, you think back on, it's really helped you to kind of get back up and grow. Because being an entrepreneur, there's way easier ways to make money. It's so hard. And, you know, the risk of failure is very high. And as I try and share with people, part of the biggest reason why I love doing this podcast is because I get to hear all kinds of stories. And there's a consistent thread, no matter what industry, you know, it's hard, right? It's hard work, but maybe there's some, you know, nugget of inspiration or success tip that you can give to somebody who's listening, who's a first time startup founder, yeah, or maybe is thinking about starting their own business. Like, what would you say to that?
You know, it really is. So I guess the cautionary part is it takes so much life force to do this. Just really, really, really run through it all on paper. Cause my co-founder and I, Paul, we like to talk, you know, if you go to Vegas and you play a slot machine, which I don't do, but if you did do that, you know, the only way you win anything is if it's cherry, 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 cherry. If there's one lemon or one banana, you get nothing. And startups are like that. So if you're assessing whether you're going to go spend the next 12 years of your life, at least, or you're the rest of your life doing this, like, at least make sure that it feels like there's a chance at cherry, 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 cherry. Because it's like, if there's, oh, it's all pretty good, except there's really no way to scale it, but we'll figure that out. Or whatever the thing is, except it's just hard. So I think, you know, even if it doesn't turn out to be all cherries, just be honest with yourself, because it's such a big commitment, that you're going into it with the best possible chance. But once you commit and once you go in, I mean, I think I've learned this lesson so many times, and it's just worth sharing, you know, with anyone. If you are a founder and if you are a CEO, you are in charge. And once you, if you hear no from so many people and they're like, no, you really should have broccoli doing push-ups on the box, and you just hear it over and over, I think that in earlier in my career, I would have said, God, maybe they're right. Maybe we do need some broccoli doing push-ups on the box, because they're so smart and they're such VCs and they made so much money and they touch so many things. Maybe they're right and I'm wrong. And it's like, I think I learned in the early days, and I keep learning it over and over. It's like, if you're going to succeed, at least do it on your terms, do it your way. Totally. You know, but to like take their advice and go down a path that doesn't feel right to your intuition. Like, those are the only times in my career that I've really faltered, is trying to follow someone else's path. You gotta like, and if it's going to go down in flames, at least it's going to go down in flames because of my choices. So I guess that's my other thing to everyone, is just listen to your intuition on this stuff. No one knows your business like you do. And just because they have more money or titles or whatever it is, they don't know. They don't know like you do. So I don't know. Those are my quick thoughts.
I love that. So Jen Zezit, co-founder and CEO of Goodles, so excited for you to share all of your wisdom with us today. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And everybody needs to grab a box or 10 of Goodles for sure. And we'll have all the info in the show notes. But thanks again for your wisdom and best of luck with everything. Thanks again for listening to The Kara Golden Show. If you would, please give us a review and feel free to share this podcast with others who would benefit. And of course, feel free to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode of our podcast. Just a reminder that I can be found on all platforms at Kara Golden. I would love to hear from you too, so feel free to DM me. And if you want to hear more about my journey, I hope you will have a listen or pick up a copy of my Wall Street Journal best-selling book, Undaunted, where I share more about my journey, including founding and building Hint. We are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Thanks for listening, and goodbye for now.